In TV shows, on screen and stage, and elsewhere, the media have often been less than kind to the mountain-dwelling people, often called hillbillies, of the south-central United States. Indeed, despite its many contributions to American life, including bluegrass music, the rich and varied culture that persists in the rugged Appalachian mountains most hillbillies call home remains a mystery to most outsiders. On a recent visit to the Appalachian portions of eastern Kentucky, VOA's Adam Phillips asked some local mountain people what they thought about the mainstream stereotypes about them and how those images came to be.
Barefoot, bucktooth, dirt poor, and dumb. That's the media stereotype that comes to mind for many Americans when they hear the word hillbilly. This comedy sketch, in which immigrant hillbillies share their dream for life in America, is typical of the way rural mountain people have been lampooned.
Boy, I'm going to love it in America. I hear they got eggplants the size of your head. I'm going to pick me up a whole armload of eggplants and squash them all over my face.
I'm going to get me a 56 Ford and put it up on blocks right on my front lawn.
Yeah, and they got fine schools there, too. You can go right on up through the first grade.
Not me. I'm just going to hang around bus stations, spitting and picking my nose.
Oh, and there's lots of old refrigerators for the kids to play in.
Say, friend, you want to move that fuzzy duffel bag so I can sit down?
That's no duffel bag. That's my daughter, Fuzzy Mae.
It's an image both laughable and painful to 17-year-old Danielle Burke, who was born and raised in Harlan County, Kentucky, in the Appalachian Mountains. It's the region where most hillbillies are presumed to live.
Because I've actually met people that are like, do you wear shoes? Do you go to school? Do you know what a computer is? Have you ever seen MTV? It's just silly, and I just get so mad at them, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Yes, it's extremely stupid how people stereotype us, and some of us are more intelligent than they are.
Until the advent of radio and later cable television and the internet, mountain people like Ms. Burke were somewhat isolated from the American cultural mainstream. Partly this was due to the remoteness of their locales, itself a reflection of a conscious choice by the area's original Scotch-Irish settlers. They wanted to live a life of self-reliance with their families and clans far away from the cities and their influence. But it was an idyll that could not last forever. Tim Merrima works at Apple Shop, a nonprofit Appalachian culture and activism center in Whitesburg, Kentucky.
There's this tradition of agrarian, family-focused self-reliance that then met up with the predominant political economy of the Industrial Revolution and the need for coal and the development of Appalachia as a resource provider for the explosion of growth in the late 19th and early 20th century on through World War II.
Early in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, it became popular for newspaper reporters to write colorful stories about mountain people and others who lived far away from the cities. But the portraits of them often led to misconceptions. Some readers mistook the mountain people's lack of formal schooling for stupidity or misunderstood simple rural poverty to be degeneracy. At the same time, coal operators and others who wanted Appalachia's natural resources began purposely to caricature mountain people as lazy. According to Appalachian filmmaker Herbie Smith, this was because many mountain people simply preferred their own hardscrabble independence to toiling in so-called modern jobs underground. Mr. Smith's film, Strangers and Kin, traces the stereotypes that began during this era.
Industrialization of the mountains came fast, and it came hard. The company town is designed along paternalism and dependency. The local people were designed around self-sufficiency and self-reliance. Our idea in tracing the evolution of the image is, look who is trying to impose their point of view on this place, and you'll find the creators of these very strong images about how backward the people are and how forward the people who are destroying the place are.
Mr. Smith offers Lil Abner, a comic strip nationally syndicated between 1936 and 1977, as one example of hillbilly stereotyping in the mass media. He recites the words to the theme song from the movie version of Lil Abner. Like the strip, it included characters like Daisy May, Pappy Yoakum, and Moonbeam McSwine.
it's a typical day in Dogpatch, USA, where typical folks do things in a typical way. First, we rub the sleep from our eyes, get our grub, then shoo away the flies. We spend what's negotiable, then we get sociable, sitting around telling lies. So it's very powerful stuff. You know, it's not like, you know, this isn't loaded.
Sometimes media hillbilly stereotypes have reflected underlying social anxieties. Take, for example, the Beverly Hillbillies, the 1960s TV comedy hit whose theme we hear. It was about an Appalachia hillbilly family that struck it rich in the mountains, moved out to super posh Beverly Hills, California, yet kept their country values. That was a message Herbie Smith says many Americans wanted to hear.
I think it was about America working out its problems with urbanization, that you have between 1930 and 1980, that 50 years, America really moved from a rural-based country to a mainly urban country. And people were trying to cope with these incredible changes that they were having to go through, of the city people not really knowing who they were, them not knowing the city. Everything was being changed in this country. And Beverly Hillbillies was an example of this transition, and it helped people cope with the changes they were going through.
Mr. Smith himself, who has traveled the world over making his films, doesn't mind living with the stereotyping. He loves being from and living in the mountains.
I tell you, the basic thing that I think is great about living here is everybody in the mountains is somebody, and they know it. Man, I'm telling you, when you're here and you're in it, it is one of the best places you can live. It's a hard place to make a living, but it's a great place to live.
In Harlan County, Kentucky, this is Adam Phillips reporting.
Good morning, farmer. Good morning, boy. Another meal skinner with a black egg whipped too tall.